What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is Article of the Week number 12. Today, we're going to be discussing an article from the New York Times. It was pretty popular in the kind of fitness community this week, so it was titled, "Too Much High-Intensity Exercise May Be Bad for Your Health." And if you know anything about high-intensity training, it's also called HIIT training a lot. That's real popular in today's kind of athletics, whether you're training for track or even like football, wrestling, anything like that where aerobic capacity and just overall performance is your goal. Even weight loss, HIIT is very popular these days. But these authors put some people through the paces and said it was dangerous or that it could be. So we're going to discuss it real quick. So Tom, what do you think of the paper?
Okay, well, all right. The headline is "Too Much High Intensity Exercise May Be Bad for Your Health." So "may be bad for your health" isn't very a strong endorsement either way. And also, "too much high intensity," well, too much water may be bad for your health. Like, it's called drowning. So, yeah. Like, too much of anything is bad. So, obviously, come on now. Like, yeah, of course that's right. So, it's not like they're wrong and they're kind of making these, like, caveats by "may be bad." So, it's like, I kind of get what they're going for, but it just seems like it's a catchy title, trying to just grab eyeballs. And honestly, the article itself, I didn't really find like it supported this argument.
Well, I know, so just I guess to go about the article real quick, it was a pretty small sample size, so it was only 11 people, and they did monitor them fairly closely for a month, putting them through various kind of stages of high intensity. Kind of they worked up to very hard sets and then they deloaded the last few weeks of the month, but they found that after the third week, the performance of these people dipped, and they kind of attributed it to, I guess, decreased activity in the mitochondria because they took muscle biopsies so they could actually measure the mitochondria, which I thought was pretty cool. That's a fairly, like, invasive thing to do. I don't know if I would ever let someone do that to me in a study because gaining muscle cells is very hard. So having somebody go in, even take a few of them through, like, a syringe, I'm not okay with that. But yeah, do you want to explain that a little bit? Just that they attributed that their mitochondria, I guess, was overworked by the second week?
Yeah, so they increased the amount of intervals and the time of the intervals each week, too. So I think they started off with two workout sessions with four-minute intervals and three-minute rest periods. I don't consider that high-intensity, or I don't consider that HIIT training. If you're doing something for more than 30 seconds, I don't really think that's high-intensity. Because if you're going hard, like if you're really sprinting, you can't sprint for 4 minutes. It's physically impossible. And then the second week, they added another exercise session, and then they kicked that four-minute interval up to an eight-minute interval, which sounds ridiculous. And then that third week, they mixed in four-minute intervals with eight-minute intervals. And then that last week is when they, I think they decreased the workload by half. So that third week is when they really noticed that big difference. And I think the study was just designed to fail, because from everything I know about HIIT training, the way I work out and the way I tell other people to work out is I do 30-second intervals of high intensity followed by 2+ minutes of recovery. However long your high intensity session is, you follow that up with like at least 2 times to 3 times, 4, even 5 times longer rest periods. So if you do a 30-second interval, that means you need to do 2 minutes or more recovery. So them having shorter recoveries in the intervals doesn't make any sense for me. And they also weren't taking like high like athletes. They were just like, okay, hey, who is this person? Oh, he works out occasionally. Cool, he's good to go. They weren't testing this on like athletes or just high fitness level people. So there is a big difference. This is a really hard workout. I think somebody like me could go through it, but I have a really high fitness level because I'm an ultra runner and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not somebody that goes to the gym occasionally. Like,
oh no, this workout would crush me. 100%. I know it would.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think this would be easy, but I think this is the hardest workout that these people have done and probably will do like every piece in the year.
Yeah. I mean, because with your kind of math, those times where they were doing an 8-minute interval, supposedly they should be doing 16 minutes of rest, not 3 minutes of rest. So nobody was going to be recovered. I don't even care if you were a crazy athlete. 3 minutes of rest after going hard for 8 minutes is not enough of a break. And I thought the same thing when I read it, that this, I wouldn't consider this HIIT training either. I would just consider this a hard-ass workout. And hey, is the end goal the same? Like better, I guess, cardiovascular health, better endurance, better just athletic performance? Sure, maybe you can argue that, but I wouldn't classify it as HIIT either.
Yeah, I don't know like what the point of this like workout is, because I've never seen somebody like protocol, or at least like somebody credible has a protocol like this. 4 minutes on, 3 minutes off doesn't really make a lot of sense. But we were kind of talking about this before the podcast, and so like when I was in high school and I was like wrestling, this kind of sounds similar to like a workout that we did, but we were like in peak shape when we would do this. We would have on Wednesdays, we would have match days where we could have one wrestling match for 6 minutes. After that wrestling match was done, we would, you know, have a quick little water break, and then we find another partner and have another 6 minute like live wrestling match. So, I mean, that's pretty similar to what they were doing. But in that 6 minutes, we weren't going all out the entire time. Like, you just physically can't. There's times where you're just like huffing and puffing, you're taking little rest periods. Like everybody plays the sport, or everybody that's played a sport knows you find rest periods when you can. So I don't understand like the formula for this. And I think like the study was just designed to fail. Like these people were completely overtrained. If you had either higher caliber athletes, I think they would have been okay. Or if you had untrained people like these people were, and they did like half the volume, I think they would have been fine and would have gotten favorable results. I just think they had way too much volume for these athletes, or just not fit enough athletes.
Yeah, and so that's where his mind went with it, and I agree with all that line of thinking as well. When I initially read it, what I thought of, I didn't think that because this isn't my world. Like, endurance racing is not my world. HIIT training is not my world at all. Even though some people would argue that weightlifting to an extreme extent is HIIT training, but I don't think I train that hard. That's just the truth of the matter. But what I thought of, like the two factors for me, like there's no doubt these are hard-ass workouts, like 100%. Like Tom said, I don't know who would program the workout like this, because it's a little much, and I don't know what your goal would be. But I thought the two biggest things were going to be sleep and nutrition, because those weren't like mentioned really in the paper at all. And if you're going to have hard-ass workouts, you're going to need hard recovery. You're going to need to make sure your nutrition's on point. You're going to make sure your protein's up. And I don't care if you're a keto athlete or your carb-based athlete, you're going to make sure your total calories are up, because you're going to be running through them like crazy. And so proper nutrition and sleep are going to be key to surviving a key workout like this, or a hard workout like this. And like something Tom mentioned, if an elite athlete was put through this regimen, they'd probably do better. One, because they're an elite athlete, but two, because people who kind of rely on their bodies for their income, for their well-being, they have their sleep and nutrition dialed in. And that's a point you brought up that I didn't make the connection, but it makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because if you're adding more stress to your body, like they were for this trial or for this study, you need to add more recovery. So yeah, you need to have your diet better. You need to make sure you're doing more to recover. And for an elite athlete, they're already used to it, so this is nothing new. But for somebody that's not used to training this hard, I mean, it doesn't say this in the study, but just reading this study, I mean, if these people aren't athletes, I don't know how they'd be training harder than this. Like, this sounds like a hard-ass workout. So yeah, they need to make sure that they're recovering harder if they're going to start training harder. So I think that's why it failed. It just seemed like this test was set up and designed to fail. So it's either the author was biased, or the study itself was biased, or both. But I mean, somebody was clearly biased and trying to make HIIT training look bad.
Yeah, I know you brought that up earlier, and I never thought of that angle, but it makes sense, because even when I read it, I was like, man, this would, and I'm not an athletic person, but I've trained damn near my whole life. And I read this and I was like, oh man, I would hate to do this workout. There's only a select few people who would actually get through this. Someone like you who's an ultra runner, but how many ultra runners are there? Not a lot.
Yeah, and it's not only just about that. It's about like how good is your VO2 max? How quick can you go from like that? Like how good is your HRV and stuff like that? How well can you put yourself in that stress of a time and then catch your breath, have your heart pumping, have your heart rate like lower quickly enough.
And go again.
Like those are real signs of like fitness.
Yep.
It's like how quick can you recover from those stressors? And if you're not pushing yourself to that level on a regular basis, then it's going to take longer for you to recover. And I highly doubt that they were using people that are used to pushing themselves that hard.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to do like a 4-minute like lift, let's say you were doing like a bunch of drop sets, something like that,
mm-hmm.
you would probably take a lot longer than 3 minutes to recover before you do another lift, right?
Oh God, 100%. Because I mean, I usually time myself. 90% of my workouts, I actually have the stopwatch running on my phone, so I know how long I'm taking in between sets. So for like, let's say a fairly simple bicep movement, say I'm doing like incline curls, like which isn't that intense at all. Like even if your biceps hurt, they're a fairly small muscle. I'll try and rest 45, maybe 60 seconds. But on a heavy bench, a heavy squat, something like that, I'm easily resting 2 minutes. And I'm definitely not going for 4 minutes during the lift, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been kind of training, I guess, similar to this protocol. So I have adjustable dumbbell. So I do 50 pounds. I do that as many times as I can, take like a 10, 15 second rest period, do as many reps as I can again until I get down to one rep. And then I drop the weight down to 40, then 30, 20, 10, like all the way down to 10. And that takes me about 4 minutes to probably do like that whole thing. And usually that's my entire workout. But if I feel like I can do another one, I'll rest about 5 minutes or so to see how my body feels and then go again. It's at least a 5 minutes, usually closer to 10 minutes, because if you're working out for 4 minutes straight, it takes about 10 minutes for your heart rate to lower. And that's usually what I go off of, is when is my heart rate getting back down to not quite resting level, but like back down there.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be at least below 100. Like if I'm going to push my heart rate up to like 150, 160 while I'm working out, I need to wait for that to drop back down, or I'm risking the chance of like injuring myself or just getting a shitty lift in because I haven't fully recovered.
Yeah. And at that point, if you are too exhausted to actually work out hard, you're defeating the whole purpose. You know what I mean? Like you have to get those good lifts in to see any sort of progress.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's all about balance. Like, yeah, you're breaking down muscle so you can rebuild it better. But if you're breaking it down too much and you can't build it back, then you're just defeating the purpose. And I think that's what they were doing here, is they were breaking down so much muscle without having enough time and nutrition to build it back bigger, faster, stronger.
Yep. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So yeah, so you can find the link to the article on the website. So you can go to tntwellnessandnutrition.com, just search up article of the week and it'll be there so you can read it. I recommend you read it. It's pretty interesting, but both there were flaws, you know, like we just pointed out for sure. But yeah, you can find us again at tntwellnessandnutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, just another case of where you can't trust the headline. You have to read the study if you're going to make a conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, please rate, subscribe, and review on your favorite podcast provider. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.